Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. You know, I was trying to think about what to share today, and you know, it seemed like the Lord kept dealing with me a little bit about change. And you know, change comes in every one of our lives almost on a daily basis if we'll just be sensitive to what God's doing. You know, we used to sing that old song, "Little by little he's changing me, line upon line he's changing me, precept by precept until I'm free. Jesus, my Lord, is changing me." And you know, that's really a true statement. And we all have changes in our lives, and sometimes we like the changes and sometimes we don't like the changes, because sometimes it's things that seem to be very negative. But really, in God, it's all positive. I don't care how negative it appears on the surface when it's happening. If you're trusting in the Lord and you're walking with Him, later on it's going to turn into something very positive. And that's just the way, you know, that's just the way it is. And I know sometimes it's hard to grab a hold of that. But I'm going to start off speaking to you out of 2 Peter. And we're going to do verse 1 through verse 12. And I'm going to read this to you out of the King James Bible. I'd like to say that the title to my sermon today is Change. And Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God unto our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord. And you know, when he says grace, you know, I've given you all the definition of the word grace, not just, some people say it's different things. But I'm going to tell you, the definition I feel like works the best is divine influence upon its heart and its And that's what grace really is about. It's his divine influence upon you, and how it begins to reflect out into your life and the lives of those around you. And, you know, and when he talks about grace be multiplied and peace be multiplied unto you, you know, the word for peace there is literally a word that comes from a word that means to join. It means peace. It means by implication, prosperity. It also means one. Peace, quietness, rest, to set at one again. And you know, I don't know about you, but I think what God's whole purpose in coming to earth in the form of Jesus Christ was to begin to set man at one again with Him. You know, man thinks that there's a lot of other purposes out there and a lot of other things that are important, but I got news for you. They're not very important. What the most important thing is that we come to know God and that we come to know Him in an intimate way. You know, verse 3 says, according to the divine power which He has given unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue. And you know, God has called you into a place where He desires for His glory to be seen in you. Romans, the 8th chapter, says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but in us. And you know, we've had prophecy and prophecy and prophecy over the years in this church about know you not that you're the temple of God. And you know, years ago, that prophecy used to come forth very regularly. You know, someone would stand up and prophesy that. And I think when God keeps repeating itself to us, it's because we haven't really got it yet. You know, and I'll tell you, a good teacher will repeat themselves, and they'll repeat themselves often. And, you know, I know different times I've shared things with people. And I remember one time a young lady in the church, I was ministering to her. We were just talking at a function. There was a function outside of the church, and I was talking to her. And I shared some things that I had shared in a sermon before. And you know, I know she was sitting there when I shared that, you know, because I remember seeing her there. And she said to me, she says, "Oscar, why haven't I ever heard this before?" And I kind of smiled and I said, "Well, maybe because you didn't have ears to hear what the Spirit was saying at that time." And you know, that's why sometimes repetition is a good thing. And you know, Brother Eddie was probably one of the best preachers I ever heard preach, as far as being able to preach and just preach so many different sermons. I mean, he used to amaze me sometimes, because you'd come in here sometimes for years, and he'd preach sermon after sermon after sermon, and it wasn't always the same thing. You know what I mean? But there is something about you getting it, you know. And I liked when Mark was in school, he did okay in school. And then he had one particular teacher that used to give them a pretest. And the test wasn't to see what they knew. It was didn't know, you know. Because what you know, you don't have to study. What you don't know is what you need to study. And I think a lot of times, I know once in a while I'll share a similar sermon to one I've shared before. And I can tell by the face of some of the brothers that have a real in-tuned ear, and sisters, they're thinking, "I've heard that before," you know. But but what I would tell them is there's people sitting out there who haven't heard it before. And sometimes repetition is a good thing. And so many times we take for granted that when we come into a place that God's only wanting to speak just to us. Well, sometimes it isn't for you. It's for someone else. You know, I one time years ago, Brother Eddie asked me to speak on a Sunday night. And I came in on a Sunday night, and man, I felt like the Lord had given me a word. And I got up to share, and I shared that word, and I was looking out at the people, and it was like I was getting this real blank-looking stare. And you're not supposed to observe the face of the people. God tells you not to do that. Because they might be thinking about cutting the grass, and they might be saying, "Oh, I got to go home, cut the grass." And they're making faces at you or something, and you're thinking, "Oh, no, they hate me," you know, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, but I don't really pay attention to y'all's face. I just think y'all are lovely, and God made a wonderful creation, and you're great, and all that stuff. So I don't worry about that. If you make a face at me, I might make one back at you. But anyway, you know, I shared that sermon. I kind of looked at the people, and I was fairly young Christian at that point. And I kind of looked out at the people and I was thinking, man, ain't nobody getting this. You know what I mean? And you know, I actually at the end of the sermon, I was sort of almost apologizing for my sermon. You know, I was kind of saying, "Well, I sure hope you guys got this," you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm kind of backtracking a little bit, trying to apologize a little bit. But you know what? The next Sunday I came to church, and this young teenage girl came up to me, and it almost makes me cry just to think about it. And she said, "Brother Oscar, I just want you to know that sermon was for me." And you know what? God loves you enough that he'll speak to the one, and he'll leave the 99. And I'm going to tell you what, his word never, never returns void. It never returns void. It always hits its mark. And as long as you just share whatever the Lord lays on your heart or do whatever the Lord tells you to do, it's going to hit the mark. And don't let discouragement get in there when you do that, because you can get awful discouraged. But so many times if we'll learn that, you know, he's given, and let's go back and read that verse 3 again. It says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue." And you know that word glory is the word doxa there. And doxa means glory as being very apparent. And I'm going to tell you what, when the Spirit of the Lord gets into your life, people, it's very apparent that it's there. And a lot of times, it's not that you even say a lot of things to them. But all of a sudden, people will be drawn to you. People will come and tell you things that they don't know why. They just start unburdening their souls to you. And, you know, people will come and stand around you, waiting for you and tell you about their problems, waiting for you to say, well, I'll pray for you, brother, or I'll pray for you, sister. You know, even if they aren't really committed to the Lord, they'll do that sometimes. And they're just waiting. But it says, through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. And that word virtue literally has the meaning of manliness. And it has the meaning of valor. And you know, sometimes being very manly in something or being very mature in something is a lot different than what we picture, you know. We picture it being somebody walking around like this, you know. Well, it's not that. You know, Jesus stood and he wept among them. Jesus was the most manly man there ever was. There has never been a man like him other than what we're turning into as we grow up in him. You have that seed inside of you. And I want you to know that he's called you to glory, his glory, that doxa as being very apparent, and to manliness or valor. And, you know, a lot of times they give people medals for valor because maybe they do some heroic deed in the service, or they throw their life in front of somebody else to save them. And I mean, even those shootings that took on, that happened in that theater the other day, they said this one person jumped in front of another person and basically was taking a bullet for them, you know. And one of the teachers, and I'm not sure, but I think it might have even been a female teacher, was shot in the leg, and she was the one that made it over and throwed the fire alarm, you know. And I mean, people come up in the natural with places of valor. But I got news for you. In the spirit, when you come up with a place of valor and manliness in the Lord, you will put other people before yourself. You know, some of the quickest ways to get your prayers answered when you pray about things, pray for other people. Pray that God's blessing be on their life. Pray that his mercy be on their life. Pray that his love invade them. And I don't care how ugly or how mean they are, I'm telling you what, when you pray like that, that pleases God. He has a big smile on his face when you do that. Because, you know, they asked Jesus one time, they said, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven like it happened in the Old Testament? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And he's of the spirit of love and forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. That's what he's all about. And you know, we have to be about that too. If we're going to be about our Father's business, that's what we have to be about. And let's go on a little bit. And it says, whereby are we given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. And I love the song we were singing about the promises a while ago. And by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, God's given you some wonderful promises. He's promised he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's promised that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's promised that no man can take you out of his hand. He's promised that you're an overcomer, that you're a king and a priest unto him. He's promised that you're jewels in his diadem, you know. He's promised a lot of things concerning you. He's promised the floods will never overtake you. The fire will never consume you. He's promised that 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. Do you believe that? Listen to the bad news out there. You might not believe that. You know, he's promised to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You know how much riches he's got in glory? A whole lot more than you do. And I'm going to tell you what, man, we have some terrific promises. We have some terrific promises. But you know the thing about a promise, if you don't believe it, sometimes you don't receive it. You got to believe it to get it. You got to believe it to receive it. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to start walking about believing the promises of God, trusting in the promises of God. He basically has told us that by his stripes we were healed. He's told us that he's given us ministries of healing. He's given us ministries of the word of knowledge, of prophecy, of all these different things. And sometimes we don't use the promises and the gifts and things that he's given us, you know. And I just want to tell you, be obedient to what God tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. He's given you exceeding great promises that you might be a divine partaker and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And let's take the next verse there. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And you know, the Lord gave me a working definition for me of faith literally years ago. And it was believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. I'm going to tell you what, when God gives you a word, he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. You can take that word to the bank. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they want to make faith real complicated. I want you to know faith is not very complicated. You say, well, Brother Oscar, I don't have much faith. Do you know there's some people who say, I don't have any faith. And they're a liar. Because Scripture says to every man, how many is every? Every man was dealt a measure of faith. Now, it might be faith in them that hasn't been activated yet, that they don't know is there, but it's there. And I'm going to tell you what, you pour a little bit of the water of the word on it in the right situation and you watch it spring forth all of a sudden into something mighty. And I'm going to tell you, we need to add, we need to begin to add these things to it. It says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And that word virtue is manliness. It's valor. And you know what? Sometimes, I'll tell you this, that's one of the problems that we have today in a lot of communities and a lot of places around. We don't have young men that know how to be men. They don't know how to be manly. They think being manly is packing a gun and shooting people, robbing people, or whatever it is. That's not being manly. Being manly is stepping up and taking care of your family, taking care of your responsibilities, doing the things that should be taken care of. That's being manly. And I'm going to tell you what. He said, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And that word for knowledge there is a word that kind of has the meaning of, it's like the word gnosko. It's the sense of knowing. And you know that God is in control. You know that everything's going to be all right because he's got it all in control. And I don't care what's happening. And to knowledge temperance. And you know, I like the word temperance because I can tell you what temperance means in the natural. I worked in a machine shop and we used to work with metal. And there's a difference between a normal piece of steel and a piece of steel that's been tempered. A piece of steel that's been tempered will hold its position. It won't flop around. And I used to like when I would get parts that had been tempered because they were a lot easier to work with because they weren't flexing and they weren't moving when I was trying to machine on them and stuff, and I could turn them into any shape or form that I wanted to. And I got news for you. When you add temperance into your life and you ask God, please make me tempered. And I'll tell you this, you might not like this, but the way they temper metal, they do it with fire. They do it with fire. They take the stress out of it. They heat it up. They let it kind of go a little bit wild for a few minutes, and it kind of tempers it, and you know, and then, but you know what? We need to add to our faith. We need to add to our virtue, temperance. You know, praise the Lord. Praise God. And to temperance, patience. Now, how many people can say that they're perfectly patient in every situation that comes up? I'm not going to raise my hand because I'm not. I'm not. But I will tell you this. I can tell you what works patience in you. Tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. And experience makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And you know what? I'm going to tell you. One time years ago, I heard Malcolm Smith do a little teaching on that particular portion of the scripture. And he said that he happened to get a chance to go to Africa. And he went over by somewhere by where the source of the Nile was. And he went to where Victoria Falls were. You know, and I don't know that much about Africa. I'm just telling you what he said. But he said, long before I got up to where the falls were, he said, I started getting wet. And I got news for you. Long before you come into the fullness of this thing, God, the water of God's word is going to start drenching you. And it's going to drench you and drench you and drench you until you get to the source. And the source is Him. And when you get into that source, then there's going to be so much water that it's going to be a limitless supply of the water of the Word of God. Praise God. So, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. You mean when I've went through the tempering of the fire, and I've went through the tribulation works patience, and I start getting a little patient, then all of a sudden I start becoming a little godly? Yeah, that's what you got to go in these, you have to go through these processes. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Who is your brother? Who is your sister? I'm going to tell you. Everybody out there. Everybody out there. They just don't know they're your brother. They don't know your sister. They have mistaken identity. They don't know who they are. But you know who they are. You know they're a child of God. You know they're a child of God that hasn't woken up to the reality of that yet. And you know what? Part of your goal in life is to love them and show them the love of God and help wake them up to that reality. Praise God. Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. I love that. The word charity there is the word agape. And the word agape means love feast. Love feast. You know what? When you really start showing everybody you come in contact with the love of God, the brotherly love, the sisterly love, then guess what? They're going to be sitting down to a love feast with you. They're going to be sitting down at His table, and they're going to be being fed with His grace, His mercy, His love, His forgiveness, because that's what He's calling you to do as you add these things to yourself. And the way you add these things is by acknowledging Him, by praising Him, by following the leading of His Holy Spirit each and every day, you know, by doing the little things. You know, a lot of people have received prophetic words when they first got saved, where somebody would tell them, oh, bless God, God's called you to be a prophet, or He's called you to be this, or He's called you to be that. And a lot of times, those words are true. And a lot of people have tried to run out and do those things and made an absolute mess of them because God has not taken them through the process yet to be able to function in whatever He called them to do. I'm going to tell you, when I first got saved, you know, I got a word from the Lord from different prophetic ministries, and the word I got was God had called me to be a prophet unto the nations. I wasn't even speaking. I wasn't teaching. I wasn't doing nothing. But you know what? I didn't run with that. I didn't jump out and start trying to do a bunch of stuff. I just waited, and I said, well, Lord, you want me to do anything, buddy? You got to open the door. I'm not a door buster. I don't bust doors down. And I basically told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to do this, you have to bring it to pass. And you know what? He's been gradually bringing it to pass over the years. And I'm going to tell you what, when he calls you to do something unto the nations, that's not necessarily all the nations out there. Every individual you come in contact with, they're a nation unto themselves. They're a nation unto themselves. And if you can't show the love of God to your next door neighbor or the person that's working next to you in your job and be nice and kind to them and treat them with love and respect and honor them even when they're acting goofy, which they do, a lot of them, you know, even when they're doing that stuff, then you know what? How can he ever send you out to speak to the masses? He can't. If you can't do it with your next door neighbor, you know. You know, they told Jesus one time, they said, Lord, your mother and your brother, they stand without desiring to speak with you. And he made a strange statement. He said, who is my mother and who is my brother? And he basically was saying, they that hear the word of God and obey it, the same are my brother and my mother and all that. And you know what? That he's talking to you. When he speaks to you and tells you to do something, just do whatever he tells you to do. I don't care how silly it is or how. Sometimes it's going to seem stupid. I've had the Lord tell me to do some things sometimes, and I thought, oh, Lord. You know, I told you, one time I was sitting in a restaurant, and he had me go over and talk to this woman. And I'm sitting there, and this woman's sitting over there, and he just kept drawing my attention to her, and I'm wrestling with going over there. I'm saying, Lord, are you sure you want me to do that? You know, I'm wrestling. And I went over to that woman, and I told her just what I felt like the Lord told me to tell her. I said, lady, I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you that things will be all right with your daughter. And she says, I don't have a daughter. And I mean, my first reaction there would have been, oh, no, you know, I really blew this. I said, well, sis, all I can tell you is that that's what I felt like the Lord told me to come and tell you. And all of a sudden she says, Well, I have a stepdaughter, you know, and we, you know, kind of like we don't get along that well, you know. I'm thinking, okay, you got a daughter. Whether you know you got a daughter or not, maybe that's the problem. You haven't recognized you got a daughter. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes God will have you do stuff like that. He'll have you give something to somebody, and you'll think, why in the world did I give that to that person? You know, be obedient. Do whatever God... Leave all the results in God's hands. Leave all the results in God's hands. You know, don't try to understand everything that's happening in your life. You're not going to always understand. Sometimes he don't want you to. He wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to do everything by faith. And I said back there in Sunday school this morning, and I love when Clarice Fluitt used to say this. She basically would say, sometimes if you don't go up to the cliff or the edge of the cliff and jump off, you won't have no stories to tell. And I got news for you, you won't. If you don't do what God tells you to do, you won't have no stories to tell. I know one time they called a relative up, you know, a brother up to the front of the church at the other church, and they were praying like crazy for his healing. And I didn't feel like that's what God wanted me to pray. He wanted me to pray for his salvation, you know, and that's what I prayed. And I even had one of the brothers say to me, well, no, he needs healing. He needs healing. They said that to me while I was up there. And you know what that brother said to me? He said, that's exactly why I come up here, to get salvation. And that's what God was sending him there for. Did God take him on? Yeah, he did. But he had given his life to the Lord. Could God have healed him? Absolutely. But was it in God's plan to heal him that day? No, it wasn't. Quit trying to make God do what you want him to do. Do what he wants you to do and just leave it alone. You know, quit trying to tell everybody everything that's wrong with them. You know, start telling them what's right with them. Start telling them they're a child of the Lord. Tell them they're blessed, even if they don't think they're blessed. Tell them God loves them. I tell you, you want to break somebody down, tell them God loves them. That'll break them down quicker than anything else. They know they're a booger. You don't have to tell them they're a booger. They know that. We all know that. We all know before we came to the Lord, we all knew we needed the Lord. We all knew that. Nobody had to tell us that. Nobody had to tell us we were bad. We knew we were bad. But I tell you what, we didn't know that in his eyes we were good. In his eyes we were his beloved children. That in his eyes we were kings and priests unto him. In his eyes he had mighty things that he wanted to accomplish in us, through us, and to the world out there. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to go a little bit farther and I'm going to close here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go back over that real quick. It says, I'm going to start with verse 4. It says, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never, and I'm going to emphasize, never fail or fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will not be neglectful, but put you always in remembrance of these things, though I know you know them, is basically what he's saying. He said, I know you know them already, and I know you guys know them. But you need to be reminded sometimes. And be established in present truth. You know what the greatest truth for you is? The truth that God gives you today. Not some big sermon that you hear on the radio, or not some big high and mighty thing. The truth that God speaks for to you today is the present truth for you right now. And you need to walk in that truth. And when you walk in that truth, then there'll be another present truth that'll come, and another present truth. And it'll continue until he brings you into all the fullness that he's called you to be. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, a little lighter hearted here. Ladies in the church, she answers the phone. Guy calls up. He says, I want to speak to the head hog of the trough. And she says, what? He says, I want to speak to the head hog of the trough. And she says, you're being disrespectful. He said, well, look, lady, I just inherited a bunch of money, and I want to give $10,000. And she says, well, here comes that hog down the aisle now. You think people aren't willing to change? They'll change real quick. You just give them a little incentive. Well, praise the Lord. We'll close with that, and I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And if anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Oh, whose birthday is it? Betty's birthday. Okay, Cynthia, we're going to have to sing happy birthday. We'll close in prayer, and then we'll sing happy birthday to Betty, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that you would just take this word that I've spoken today, and I know it was a very simple word, but Father, the simplicity that's in Christ, that's what we need to grab a hold of. We need to realize that you want to work all these things in us, and that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in you. And as we work them out, Father, then they're going to begin to bless creation and begin to set creation free. I ask you to bless your people, and I ask you to just move and flow through them mightily. And Father, I thank you for the miraculous things that are going to begin to happen. Even as people bring a word and they begin to believe the truthfulness of you and the truth of what your word says, we're going to see mighty, mighty things in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord.